Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for stuff. We got stuff on there. I don't know what kind of stuff, but stuff. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. He's a documentary filmmaker, and he worked on Last Chance U, which is a great doc on first season, right? It's first and second?
Oh, first 3 seasons, yeah.
First 3 seasons. So after that, wait, are there only 3?
There's 5.
Okay, so just watch the first 3 seasons of Last Chance U. It's really good. It's good. I love it. God, I wish I knew what happened to those people. Are they gonna do a thing where they come back and say what happened?
You know, I to plug this, I directed a follow up episode of the characters in the first season, and one of them involves a murder trial. If that gives you any sense of how some of them are doing. So
shit.
Actually, if your listeners want to Google it, there is a pending lawsuit from one of the characters towards Netflix about them being. Wanting to be paid for their participation, they felt they were exploited.
So not even slander or anything. Just
no, yeah. Well, I mean, I think there is an element of that where they feel like they weren't presented in a just way, but it's more of like the show made X amount of money for Netflix and then the production companies, and therefore they, you know, as they weren't underage because they were in college, but they were young and impressionable, and they felt like they were had to sign it, and you know, they want some of that money, basically.
Yeah, well, maybe you should go to the School of Hard Knocks then, kid. That's the way life is, all right?
Know, or make it the NFL to be on Hard Knocks, and then you can get some money.
Signatures go a long way.
And I'm not yet done introducing you. Also the producer of Companion, which is directed by our friend Drew Hancock, and it's streaming now on Max. HBO Cinemax came together and formed Max. It's our good friend, Adam Ridley. Hey, Adam.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What's up?
Thanks for being here, man. So you were just in Europe?
I was in Europe for a month.
Working on stuff or just
working on a documentary that officially has not been announced. So I can't get into it too much, but.
Is it hard hitting or is it light and fun?
No, I don't know if it's either hard hitting or light. It's sports adjacent and hasn't been announced yet, unfortunately. So.
Okay.
Boy,
is it gonna be well, yeah, but I do have a question about this,
yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are always, well, I don't know if a lot of people are, but I'm always kind of thinking of documentaries and stuff when it comes to like getting on the ground floor of a documentary and conceptualizing it and stuff. You don't really know what the end is gonna be, right? I mean, aren't you kind of finding it during it? And so like, how does that even work?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, I think you guys have both written screenplays or at least written, you know, like on TV and stuff like that. So there's something similar about that where you have an idea and you maybe think you have an ending, but then it will evolve in the writing process. This is like very similar, but obviously you're a little bit more invested in it because you started production and you have people and stuff like that. And it's interesting that you bring that up because like a lot of now streamers and things like that, they aren't really taking pitches for what's called Verite or real-time documentaries where there isn't an ending. So like a lot of them want more talking head-based things like this thing that happened already. So they sort of know the story in a way. And obviously things can
like
change.
Like the Bulls one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like Last Dance or like any true.
They don't want to be surprised Dance. With something they can't make money on kind of thing.
Yeah. Or even just like get in a situation where there's no ending and then they have to keep extending the edit weeks and stuff like that. I think they've probably been burned.
Rewriting the whole thing because there isn't an ending. Like, well,
yeah. So most of the Verite or real-time documentaries are sports related because it's very easy to follow a season because you know it's going to end in whatever, a championship or the absence.
Or the big loser. Yeah. How much do you consider yourself to be like a journalist versus like a storyteller when it comes to these things?
I don't think I've ever called myself a journalist, but maybe there is some element of journalism to that. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I think, yeah, storyteller for sure. Because like, we're not necessarily like manipulating the truth or anything like that, but we are looking for things that follow natural storytelling arcs. So like, for finding a character, you want them to, like any good character, you want them to desire something and then try to go to achieve it and then hopefully change from that. So there's a huge amount of, you know, those storytelling rules that are infused in it.
I would say that a lot of good journalists are actually secretly good storytellers.
I mean, that's
because they ask the questions that lead to the good story.
Yeah. I certainly did not go to journalism school, though, so I wouldn't even know how to approach it with any rules like that.
I did go to journalism school, and I wouldn't either.
What?
Yeah, Willie and I are both degrees in journalism, if you can believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Well, like, so it's a 4-year program or like 2-year program? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it's Colorado State.
So what was the biggest things that you, one of the biggest things that you took away from that? Like
Drew went there too.
Is it journalism?
Yeah, but he was communications. He was communications.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which is,
he was one of those losers with no future. Journalism. We got a real fucking, the journalism profession will never go away. Whereas communications, what even is that? You can be a PR manager?
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest thing, I don't know. I mean, they taught us like AP style. They said, don't editorialize. Like everything has to be backed up on fact. If you make any statement, there's got to be a quote that follows it. Stuff like that. But like not a lot of real like overarching, like this is what a journalist does. You know, nothing like that.
Well, that's interesting.
They were pumping out news anchors. Sorry.
So then there is an element of journalism, because when we get things cleared by lawyers, we have to have things verified. So like if you have somebody that you interviewed that calls somebody else in the show or whatever, like that they, you know, or molested children or whatever, then you have to get that verified.
Right.
And just say that, you know what I mean?
Oh boy.
Right.
Yeah. So there, I guess.
Yeah. Then you got a libel case for sure. So we do a lot of paranormal and we call it contemporary mythology on here. It just means conspiracy theory. It's just a nicer way to say conspiracy theory, because conspiracy theory became very weaponized. How into that world are you of like fun kind of fun?
You know,
internet,
it's funny. I'm a child of the 90s when conspiracy theories were like cool, and well, not that they're not cool now, but like almost like the bastion of the left. You know what I mean? And so like I was very much involved in like early internet, like conspiracy theory kind of research stuff. Obviously X-Files played a huge part in that.
X-Files, yeah, yeah.
And now I'm like almost like, gosh, conspiracy theories. And again, I know you're not calling it conspiracy theories have like pretty much ruined our country. And so I'm like,
yeah,
I don't even know what to believe. And I want to actually think that there is no secret underground cabal that rules the world, and everything's very much more simple than we hope. But yeah.
Well, back in the day, what were your fun conspiracy theories that you liked?
Oh, obviously the JFK thing was a huge one, because that movie came out when I was like 10 or 11. So I like read a bunch of books on that. So that was like, for me,
awesome.
Like the first one I got super into.
Did you come up with any, you know,
fringe ideas that don't add up to anything right now? Or
I don't know if this is fringe, because like it actually somewhat made a lot of sense. But, you know, the aspect of it where like a lot, this majority of the Secret Service that were like usually with Kennedy were given the day off at the time. And so most of them were like junior Secret Service people. Are you guys aware of that? Okay. So that's,
actually, I didn't know that. I mean,
yeah,
it's probably been told to me
that Dallas day. Yeah. It was pretty fucked up.
And so obviously a huge part of it is that how were they able to get like the magic bullet thing, how they get this a certain angle. And so one conspiracy theory that I thought was really interesting is that the first shot from whomever, Oswald or somebody far away, went off. And then one of the Secret Service person behind him was like nervously like taking his gun out and actually fired it and hit Kennedy from behind. So it was like,
that's
like,
what I believe.
Yeah. And I think like that actually kind of makes a lot of sense. Just based on the
total
direction of it. Something
it,
like that.
It also helps with them assisting in the cover up, because there 100% was a cover up. Part of his brain's missing, different stories of autopsy. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you watch JFK and he's like, that's one magic bullet or whatever, and you're like, oh, well, it makes sense if like, yeah, if this moron just shot him on accident.
Exactly. And which makes me want to like, you know, just the guy that did that, just kind of, what did he do and how did he live with himself? I mean, we have that in it.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, that's a good.
Oh, my
God.
You want to brag about it a little bit? You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was there. And listen, I kind of did it. I didn't mean to.
It's like, you know, anybody else who's cried for a quarter century, you know, like,
yeah,
can't stop.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fun. Someone should do a, you should write a narrative about that guy. Just in theory.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Stands for Wade or Willie. It's a five question quiz. At the end of the five questions, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
I'm ready.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Ooh. I believe that I want to believe in aliens. I'm very much like just obviously.
Isn't that the X-Files shirt? That's the shirt.
That's a poster.
I want to believe to believe. Behind him,
yeah. I want to believe. I believe. That's funny.
And have they visited? That's a great question. I don't think they have. I don't think they have, and so therefore they haven't.
Okay.
300 years, or if they have, it's not. In maybe the way that one would think, like the little green men thinking, maybe there's like something that's more, you know, like I don't know.
Like microbial or
yeah, not even that. I mean, yeah, that actually makes it more of like, there's just like a lot, there's a lot of speculation about like aliens and ghosts being some of the same thing. And they're almost like visiting in a different dimension.
Spectral.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So like, yeah, maybe there's some element of that. So maybe I do believe in it, but also not me. Yeah. Maybe not the way that we're thinking. So, yeah.
Well, we can bump Let's bump you up a little bit. You want to believe it, so why not?
Yeah. Side question. What's your favorite alien that you've seen? And you're like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Well, I thought I, are you talking about,
it could be a movie in movies.
Oh,
well, hang on. No, but if you thought you saw an alien,
no, this is a story that my brother always like wanted me to tell, but I thought I saw an alien once and it's
tell it.
It's not a great story.
First of all, where are you? How old?
Oh yeah. No, I'll paint the picture for sure. It's not a great story in retrospect, but like at the time I was 12. And so I was at a sleepover with friends at my friend, John's house. And we're all like hanging out. We rented Clerks and watched it like 3 times. Like, you know, when you would rewatch a movie because you thought it was so amazing. Slamming Code Red Mountain Dew and eating whatever, you know, Bugles or something like that. Anyway,
my girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
Yes, exactly. I learned about blowjobs from that movie. I'm like, oh, really? What is that?
My dad, just to really quickly interject, my dad heard us listening to that movie and went to my mom and was like, what the fuck are they watching? He's talking about 37 blowjobs. Like, what a culture shock for a parent that your kids are so innocent and then suddenly they're just watching a movie about blowjobs.
I mean, not to derail, but like, I don't have kids. Willie, I know you have. I don't know how you're going to deal with everyone having access to everything at once on their phone. Like, I had a sneak taped.
Yeah, I worked on a GWAR music video. This is a side change too. And I have one of the magazines that has like original GWAR artwork on it. But the inside is just a regular porno mag, and it was in my backpack, and Shauna found it. She's like, Moose could find this. And it was just the big shocker of like, oh fuck. Like, I don't want him to find like porn. I'm like, I don't have porn, but I had that. Anyways.
Like, you don't want to be the one responsible. so we were
all right. So you're at John's.
John's house. Yeah. Sleepover is late and we were all sleeping in the basement. And so I was on a couch like right here and there were like 2 chairs in front of me. And like my mother friend was sleeping on a couch here and one friend was sleeping on the ground. And so we were like drifting off to sleep. The lights went off. Like everyone else was sleeping. I was kind of like slowly fading off. And I hear this buzz in my ear, like almost like when like a fly flies by really close to your ear. And I was like, and it kind of jolted me awake. And I woke up and I looked directly in front of me in a chair. And I saw this figure sitting there, like an outline of a figure, you know, and like, you know, it's dark and you're sort of like see colors. And like, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? I thought one of my friends was there. And then in the background where like the workout stuff was, I saw like a little short kind of like figure, like running in place. And I was like, what's going on? I look down, I see my friend still sleeping, and I like realize it's not my friends. And I'm like, you know, again, I'm clearing like kind of like the sleep out of my eyes, or like the pre-sleep or whatever out of my eyes. And I just like am certain that I'm seeing these figures, and I start screaming. And my friends are like, what's going on? I'm like, turn on the light. I'm screaming. And then I hear that same kind of buzz again, like a fly. And then my friend turns on the light and nothing's there. And so I was certain it was an alien, because it was like the figure was like very like thin, gaunt, classic, you know, big eyed communion looking thing. And then the other one was like a little darker kind of guy or whatever. So it felt very like alien to me, unlike maybe a ghost or something like that. And I just would like tell my brother, I would tell it on sleepovers. Like I was certain it happened. And over time, as I like sort of started thinking about it, I'm like, I just think I saw figures because my eyes were adjusting to the light, you know what I mean? But that's my closest I have to an experience.
It's interesting because of the buzz.
That's
right?
What I like, held on to. It was like, I don't know if a fly flew by me or whatever, but I remember hearing that kind of thing, like the sound they made when they entered our dimension and the sound they made when they left. Like that's like filling into my mind.
Like Dracula turns into a bat. Why could an alien turn into like a fly or something?
Exactly. So that's,
all right. Second question: Israel versus Palestine. Oh, choose a side. I'm just joking. Second question. Second question is ghosts.
Yeah, I think there's like, again, I wish I knew more to explain like in a Dan Aykroyd way what I believe in, but like I don't necessarily think it's like a Victorian guy, whatever. But I think there's some certain energy that like is like exists somewhere. But where I get hung up on ghosts is they always talk about like houses and places that are haunted, like, you know, but there's never any like, you know, or there's nothing, not that there's never, but it's really rarely that I hear like, oh, this ghost is haunting this forest or something like that, or like the same area of a forest, don't go there, you know, like, so I'm like trying to rectify that.
Yeah. I lean into the energy spikes of magnetic fields and maybe perception shifts, dimension shifts. And so houses fit in that. I think that there would be places in the forest that fit the same bill, but no one's observing it.
Yeah. And doesn't have that sort of like emotional reaction to like an old creaky door that sounds like it's opening or something like that. Like a noise in the woods. You're like, yeah, I just heard a noise.
It could be anything. It could be a fog. What do you think? No, or
but less? I believe less in ghosts than I do in aliens. So if it's like aliens are up here, ghosts are here. Like I feel like alien. And again, maybe they're the same thing. That's what I'm like sort of rectifying. Like they're kind of can exist in the same, you know. So that's why when I story what I told, like it sort of felt like it was an aliens, even though it sounds like more like a ghost story, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, this speaking of forests and noises in the forest, Bigfoot.
No.
Bigfoot gets no love. Nobody likes Bigfoot, dude.
Well, I think it's one of those things where I grew up watching the In Search Of or whatever, and that classic footage was so compelling, but then, obviously that got defunct.
Nothing else was.
Yeah, and we live in, and that's why aliens and ghosts are so great, and they will continue, because it's almost like God, where you have to have, like, faith in a way, because everything can kind of be explained as like, oh, that pencil moved because it was a ghost. Bigfoot, you're going to see a Bigfoot. And like we haven't really got that captured yet. So I feel like, you know, we've explored pretty much all of Earth besides underwater. So
I'm not gonna tangent on this, but just real quick, I what I like is the idea of the DNA of Bigfoot in rivers. There's some people out there saying that like they found it, but like there's no company that will admit to it being something new because they don't want to be, they'll lose their funding if they say that they have a new DNA of some kind of ape-like creature that shouldn't be there.
So like meaning like they have urine or something samples in the water and then they'll.
I mean, it's a fun tangent to go, but you know, it's lost in the, it's just a fun idea that like there's some people that want to expose it, but can't.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right, fourth question, Illuminati.
I don't know if I even know what the Illuminati, I mean, I know, I think the Illuminati was what created by Robert Anton, so it's has its origins in fiction, but I think the Illuminati probably exists in the way that people want it to exist. There are these rich white men that really control the world, and it's pretty obvious that that's the case.
I know. I almost feel like, Willie, really, just a note for later, we should maybe lose the Illuminati. Because that's kind of the answer we get all the time. It's like, yeah, we're seeing it happen, but is that the Illuminati? Because like the Illuminati seems more fun. And
like even the inauguration, Trump's inauguration was like, all right, we're not going to do this big thing. We're just going to have all of the most powerful men in the world just sit in one room to acknowledge.
You can watch the handshakes. That's all.
Yeah.
So what do we even put? Yes or no?
How about this? Do you think that there is influence from the Illuminati in music and social media?
As opposed to
just running the world?
Yeah, social media for sure. Music, I don't know. Like, I don't. Well, I mean, I guess I've never heard music before. Like,
there's a lot of like Beyonce stuff and.
A lot of artists have music videos where they die and are reborn and their symbology and all the satanic shit.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Like those, like, yeah.
We gotta just ax the Illuminati. Yeah. We gotta come up
with social media.
We'll workshop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll put no. All right. The multiverse. Do you believe that the multiverse could exist?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, I mean, like even like scientifically, I think that's not proven, obviously, but there's like a lot of.
But do you believe that like we can cross over and stuff? Which is like, I mean, it goes with your whole thing about ghosts and aliens.
Yeah.
But do you believe that could happen?
Yeah. Again, I don't know enough about it to know if it's actually possible. But I feel like it's can be possible. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean, we'll put you as a two on the scale. So you're a little more of a Wade than a Willie.
Okay, I'll take that.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, will we need digital passports to access the internet? Let's talk about the looming possibility of needing digital identification to access the internet in America. Join us as we unravel the implications and potential consequences of this inevitable issue in America tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Is this something that's been proposed, or where is this coming from?
It's coming from entities right now trying to push the Real ID and digital online driver's licenses. There have been stuff in the talks, especially since, here's the thing. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists throwing out these ideas that like this is happening real soon. And there are other countries that do this. Like, of course, and I don't know how much of these stories are really legit, but in China, you use your passport to be online because everything you do online is tied to you. They don't have anonymity in their online presence. And, you know, they're a ruled regime and Russia in the same way. And I'm going like between Russia and China, your offline identity can be taken away from you because of your online identity.
What do you mean? Like your offline identity?
Like
you
just that, like that they could kill, that they can like, you know, in Europe, people are going to jail for posting memes, you know, but in Russia and China, I imagine they disappear.
Right. But we don't even need that in America. We've got all these fucking warriors, these keyboard warriors who like, if you say one racist thing and someone films it, goodbye job too. They're going to reach out to your job. They're going to fucking get you, you know?
So like we have that kind of community. Yeah. You said mention the Real ID. I don't know what that is, but I know I have to do it.
You didn't have to. I didn't do a Real ID.
You have to do it to fly.
No, yeah. Not if you. The Real passport. ID was an option. If you didn't want to connect it to your passport, you had to get a separate passport.
Oh, so if you don't have a passport, you would need to get the Real ID.
Yeah,
but it's only a certain state. Like me. You don't have a passport, Wade?
No, I never got one.
ever.
And now it's too late.
I never got one either until this came up. I'm like, I'm not doing this fucking real ID thing.
Wait, neither of you ever had never had passports before?
Well, I only ever went to Mexico. And you didn't have to have one until now. Until
9/11, right? Or
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I'm not interested in anything that Europe has to offer. Like, we perfected the country. Like, the idea of the country was perfected by America. And and I think it's going pretty good.
Which brings us to our topic. Will we be... we will need a special passport to access the internet. Well, without really knowing the ins and outs, I don't know why they would want that, because I think it seems to be the whole point of the internet, which is basically now just social media, if you know, nothing else, is that they want everybody just kind of like signing up and locked in and scrolling through to watch ads.
Well, here are the issues that are coming up recently when it comes to minors.
I could say this really quick before you get into it. I can understand why you would want to track people's online movements, right? And then you could also, like, knowing what country they're from, give them only access to the sites that you want them to see, right? I feel like it would be easier to regulate the internet if you had to have an ID, because then it only unlocks this amount of internet for you. Whereas in China, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they block everything in China. I don't get it, but they did it.
But yeah, doesn't that exist anyway? With like, so if I wanted to watch Paramount Plus in Europe, which I tried to do, and this is not a plug for Paramount Plus. I'm sorry. I didn't want to, but you can't because of the region and stuff like that. So it sort of already exists to some extent.
Yeah, for sure. Most of this is coming from COSA. It's the Kids Online
Safety Act.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that they're trying to sneak in other losses of our rights into this act because, ultimately, do minors have the right to freedom of speech? So there's that issue. And then the other issue is,
interesting,
do social media entities have the right, do they have the freedom of speech to allow minors to be addicted to their shit? You know, I know I'm skewing that, but like, are we taking away some company's rights by saying minors can't be on the site? You know, you picture...
Well,
there was this secret thing that came out where, was it a Facebook analysis or something, where they were like, hey, teens' lives are worse for social media. And they had all this these tests to prove it. And that sparked everybody going like, oh, fuck, we can't have teens being addicted to this shit because they know that they have addictive qualities in their... In the algorithm. It's all lost in the algorithm now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the argument for taking away a company's rights, but like, we've been through this with alcohol and cigarettes, and it seems like everyone can kind of agree on that. Like, I don't think there's anybody fighting for the 11-year-old to drink or something like that. I think you could definitely make the argument that it's harmful. And again, there have been studies proving that. It's just way more subtle. Like, you know what I mean? It's very easy to like look at a drunk kid and realize that's not good versus like what seems to me, both anecdotally and what I've read, is that just like the pervading sense of mental health deterioration among young people that is, you know, very prevalent, especially in American society. So I don't know. Yeah, I'd be all for it. I also don't give a shit about defending Instagram or Meta's rights to anything.
Right. I know. It's weird though, but that's their defense that they're having, is that like, you're taking away this company's right to connect to them. And it's weird because we all know that all of these companies are really making money off of us just being locked into the site.
Yeah.
So that's why the algorithms, it doesn't even matter if your followers get to your stuff. The algorithm, people are playing to the algorithms because if you can get engagement, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
But let's get into
the idea of it all though, because it feels more nefarious than just like limiting what minors can see, right? I mean, like,
yeah, yes,
I don't,
yes.
I definitely that,
that's
don't
the way they're
want,
shoehorning it into it, but yeah, the real thing,
well,
is
it's always that, isn't it? It's always for the set. I can't get flavored nicotine pouches because of the children, the fucking children.
Yeah.
I don't have a child. And if I did, I would not let them have nicotine pouches.
And so you that would don't be my get to job. Enjoy flavors? You don't get to enjoy flavors because
I get no flavors.
They're outlawed flavored nicotine.
Yeah. Does just in LA our city council members decided like they're going to solve all the world's problems. These fucking local LA fucking idiots.
And
I'm running in 4 years.
Oh, yeah, they're cool with the meat paste, you know. They're cool with that, and glyphosate, whatever. I'll shut up.
Right, whatever. But I don't want to get off on that. I just mean like I definitely don't want an internet passport that's going to see everything that I do online because I do some dirty shit online, man.
I guess I don't know enough about it, but isn't that already the case? Isn't everything stored with cookies and the
IP address and stuff?
Yeah, right? The difference is this. If you're, and I don't mean to keep harshing on the minors, but minors can lie and say that they're adults. And so as anonymous as you want to be, they still store cookies and information and they sell all that information.
So what you're saying is that they're like right now, all that sort of happening, even though, and we just sort of like, whatever, but there might be an actual system where we have to like get our face scanned every time we turn on our computer and it really verifies that it's us. And it's like really like locked into our brain that. Yeah, that's
and most of that they're going to say is attached to, you know, the apps that you're using.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can prove that you are of age. And also they say it's to confirm that your identity is you and for fraud protection. Because here's the thing. The government will step in if there's too many nefarious things happening, people's identities being stolen, all these things. But when you look at this push for real ID and all this stuff. All of these companies, they're pushing everybody real hard, different driver's license entities to be like, oh, we need a digital ID. None of these companies are offering online protection in any way. So like picture all the companies that have lost all your digital information already, the biggest ones in the world, you know, that own the most things like, oh, we got hacked again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm sorry, this might be a tangent too, but like between the real ID and driver's licenses, they're just pushing it because companies are pushing it and they're paying for entities to push them. So without the protection behind it, we're just going to have this weird digital future of fucking everything's hacked.
What are the proponents of this saying? Like, what would it do that's positive? Like, how are they spinning it outside of the children thing?
Yeah, there's a children argument. But what's the incentive?
It is more protection of from fraud. And so like if you want to do stuff with the government, like I'm sure you guys have an ID.me account, right? If you want to file for unemployment, if you want to do your online car registration, there's like a government ID third party company that makes sure that this is you. And all they do is send you a verification text or email. It's like, oh, this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying that that is enough protection to make, you know, that that's better than the old classic ID because you can make a copy of an ID, you know, that they're throwing new technology above existing, like picture voting. This might be a thing too. Well, we have to prove that it's you that voted. Like, I feel like that might be more than a minor thing where it's like 50,000 people voted that were dead. I'm like, that didn't fucking happen. Anyways.
But that's I mean, that's like a hot topic, right? That now
the voter ID laws, which are basically they're just giving extra steps, like and counting on people being lazy, mostly young and other, you know, people.
It's voter suppression under the guise of like
but I don't know what that means because it's already kind of you have to register to vote. There are already steps they have to take. So I don't know what these extra steps are. Like in my mind, it's in a separate card and you have to go somewhere. I'm assuming that's like just making it more of a pain in the ass for people to prevent them from voting. Whereas this, I'm like, I don't see why anyone would want to prevent somebody from accessing the internet because everything is just tied into it now where They want it to be free. There's a reason we're not paying for Instagram or any of those things. They want it available, and that's because so they can get money from advertising. Basically the same concept as television.
But I'm just going to the most nefarious reason to do that, which is like, we want to control what you see. And so, you know, if you're a resident of the United States, we don't want Al Jazeera to be accessible to you. You know, we don't want like the BBC to be accessible to you. We want a state-run media, and we want to feed you all of the facts.
Picture this. This is the best example going on of recent. This whole, did you guys watch the TikTok interview? Congress
people interview with the people that, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this guy.
Wait, what is it? What is it?
There were people of Congress interviewing the owner of TikTok when they were trying to decide if it should be banned or not. Right. First off, they didn't know shit about anything, you know, digitally. They were
they're all fucking 80 years old, dude. They don't know.
Does TikTok run my Wi-Fi? Like, if I had TikTok on, could it take control of my Wi-Fi? Another one was
really. What did you say?
There's a famous line from the senator. This is not from this hearing, but the other where he thought the internet was a series of tubes. Like that information was like basically a sewer system. This is from like 10 years ago or something like that. Yeah.
Did you see the lady just like the last week or whatever? Calling AI A1?
Yes. and like they were asking
fucking
him
idiots
questions like, could TikTok take control of a plane? And they kept asking him like, are you part of the Chinese government? Are you Chinese citizen? And
I remember that. Okay. I definitely saw that part. Right? Yeah.
One of the guys had never heard of Singapore before. He's like, where is this country? And it was just like, like, you know, these are the people that are helping to push these laws. And so they have all drank the Kool-Aid of they thought China was invading the country because of TikTok, and it has nothing to do with China. So,
there was some push happening.
Right. But what is it? What is the point? I don't know.
Does it go more beyond than just like a lot of people that are getting angry letters from moms or whomever, and they're just trying to like appease them?
Well, like, okay. So you know how like when riots happen, there's people believe that there are people from the other side there to instigate more things. This is happening with Reddit right now, where so Reddit is one of these last like free speech sites that like is still off the rails according to conservatives. And so there's a lot of like violent posts on Reddit that are like, we need to kill this senator, we need to do this, all of these promoting violence against specific people. And so a lot of people think that who are doing this are someone behind the scenes trying to like push this so that it eventually has to get into lawmaking of like, we need to know who this is because we need to bring justice.
Oh, basically they're trying to end being anonymous on the internet, is what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So it's like every Instagram handle isn't like, you know, you have to have your picture, you have to have your actual name or whatever.
Yeah, you can remain anonymous to everyone else, but the government has to know who you are. And so,
I mean, I'm really in favor of that.
But if you're in favor of it, then you can't make a joke about Elon anymore, because then Elon's going to come out.
No, I know. I mean, I'm being facetious, but like, isn't like the one of the biggest issues of the elections is the foreign interference? And like, I remember I went to Mississippi on Last Chance U in 2015, 2016, and my explore page in Mississippi on Instagram changed dramatically when I was there. And I became fascinated by all the people posting like crazy things about Hillary Clinton. And I was like, what is going on? And there was this one account that I would always check. Cause I'm like, what is this crazy guy saying now about the election? His name was like Dallas 54, I think, or something like that. And it seemed to be a real person. And he seemed to be like posting all this crazy stuff. Like, oh, of course. Like, it was before QAnon was really like in notes, but obviously he was like, now you would say he was somebody who's being QAnon. And then the election happened and I was in Mississippi that night. I literally heard gunshots and people saying woohoo after Trump got elected, like Yosemite Sam style. And my point is, I remember checking like a year later that account, because I would always check it. I was like laying at night in my hotel room all the time. So I had all this free time. I checked that Instagram account and it didn't exist. It stopped posting after the election. I was like, oh, was that like Russian account? Like,
this was almost a topic. Have you guys heard of the dead internet theory?
Oh yeah. I've heard that before, but I don't really know what it means.
So 10 years ago, they did this study. They thought that over 50% of the internet was bots.
Mm.
Bots posting for interactivity. This is why I keep checking accounts that are posting like political things, especially in Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Because every single Facebook group I'm in is trying to be paranormal or nostalgic, and political shit gets posted. And everyone's like, why are you allowed this to be posted in here? And I'm like, well, it's all bots. You go to their page, it's all for interaction. It's all for algorithm hits, engagement.
Well, and it's to swing the election. I mean,
That too. But I'm like, despite the the election is the bigger picture, but I'm saying like, yeah, the dead internet theory is like, this was 10 years ago. They thought 50% of posts and shit were bots. And so what is it now?
Yeah.
Well, so now I'm almost like on Ridley's side here, where I'm like, yeah, maybe we should have, because then we would at least know that this is a real person that we're talking
about. Right. Exactly.
Instead of like some bot.
We live with so much misinformation, like literally what I was talking about earlier, where I'm like, if I see something where it's like Biden, you know, sneezed, I'm like, that probably didn't happen or didn't happen. You know what I mean? I don't even know what to believe. So this would maybe help give some element of like reality. But then
mention the whole prevalence that's going to be a huge problem of AI. And as these AI videos get better, when we get like, you know, Biden like kissing a little girl or something, it'll look really good. It won't look like he's eating spaghetti or something.
No, I mean, it already is there. Yeah.
So what's this is it Nextdoor? What's this local app that like
Nextdoor? Yeah.
So I joined Nextdoor, but what I didn't like about it was I was not anonymous. And so the reason why I don't like that is because half the posts in here, you're like, people are revealing that they're racist, you know, a suspicious character walking around. He's black and he was holding something. I don't know what it was, but he's suspicious. And so right. I don't want to respond to that and argue with people about their dumb posts.
Because you're not anonymous?
Because I don't want to then see them in person and have to continue the conversation with them, you know, about...
Oh, well, they're cowards. I don't want to... They would never...
I guess is that your argument though? I feel like
no. That was my argument. This is a microcosm of why I don't interact with things digitally, is because I'm like, whenever I do post something that somebody doesn't like, somebody will come back and like check my account and be like, oh, this motherfucker is gay and has a kid. And I'm like, dude, this has nothing to do. That happens to me all the time. All these posts, like,
man.
And I don't post that much, and I'm pretty tame, you know, and I'm still getting anyways.
Oh, this man, you don't sound tame at all. you sound like you get into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just tough because it's like I love going to Breitbart. I don't know if you guys go to Breitbart.
For sure.
I just like want to know, like, I'm like, whoa, that's what they're focusing on. Wow. And then I love going to,
I joined the truth media, all the different right-wing
it's
sites.
I joined truth because at the time that I joined it, there was some Republican who was like in trouble for something, and I wanted to do a fundraiser for him to like bilk all of his supporters. So like I made a fundraiser and everything, but I never got any traction. I was just going to take all that money.
Oh, you were making like a fundraiser to kind of troll the.
Yeah, I want their money. If they're stupid enough to give me their money, I want it. I'll take it.
Yeah, but it was like, what's that story of the girl who posed as a black conservative?
Oregon.
And made like a ton of money. Well, yeah, I don't know what my point is, but then at the Breitbart's, it's like I'm like scrolling through comments. I'm like, these people can't be real. And I want some validation to like know that, oh, okay, yes, this is America. I'm not crazy. Or like, no, it's just 10% of these people are real and they like are emboldened because they think 100% of them are real and they all have these crazy ideas.
I mean, the influence that these bots have changed America. And so would it work? Listen, I'm not for losing our anonymity, but You're not as far for as posting,
losing, so you're for keeping our anonymity.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But when it, but maybe not for some social sites. You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, if you can, I don't know. It's a slippery slope.
No, but okay. All right. Well, here's what I have to say about, like, especially Reddit, because I use it all the time.
Same.
And it's my guilty pleasure. It's the only, if you can even call it. So I don't call it social media because it's anonymous. Like, yeah. Right? When you get into these subreddits, like all cops are bastards and stuff. And people are like, the only good cop is a dead cop. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting it tattooed on my knuckles. I fully hate cops. But when they actually are like provocateurs of violence, when they're saying like, we need to, you know, actually like do something, those people get banned. There's moderators in every subreddit and they get banned, and they're people because, maybe bots can do that. I don't know. But like, it feels like a self-governing sort of free speech forum. Right. And so I don't know why you would want to know. I don't know. Like there's so many subreddits who are banned for hate speech. And,
oh, yeah. Sorry. Reddit is the only, well, again, yeah, you're right. I don't consider it social media as well, because I actually go there for news. I go there for how to, you know, plumbing advice or whatever, but it is very well regulated in that regard. And like,
here's
everything
the
I'm
problem.
Talking about on purpose is not regulated, because I feel like Breitbart doesn't want that. You know, they want to feed the beast. So
this congressman who doesn't know where, has never heard of the country Singapore and doesn't know where it is, also has no concept of what Reddit is, you know? Yeah. And so they're the ones that are actually, they have a bigger voice than us. Cause like, what is our voice in this realm? Like things slip by us and we're fucked.
But at the end of the day, are we just talking about them stumbling into something that might be good for everyone? Like if we do have to be validated as real people, it might make everyone just kind of think. And I know it's a slippery slope, cause then you get into the social credit China thing, right? Where like, oh, then if you say the wrong thing, like you lose points or whatever.
Yeah.
But now I sound like a fucking bootlicker or whatever, where if you don't have anything to hide, then you have nothing to fear.
I know, but that's always the funny thing. Like picture this. If you have ever done unemployment in California, back in the day when you had to call someone, if you were impatient with someone, all of a sudden you got put onto a list of, you have to verify fucking everything from now on for the rest of your unemployment life. So you hear those stories like, oh, just everything's cool. I got no problems. You know, just saying these government run programs still have people that can be offended running them. And so you can still get fucked from, I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but like I picture.
No, I get it. I mean, it's the exact same problem that we have with the police, where it's like the police can just make up something and throw you in jail. We would have that problem now online, only it would be not even the police. It would just be like the police of the internet or whatever.
It makes sense to be attached to your credit also, which doesn't make sense either. But it's like, hey, you have bad credit, so you have to pay more for everything. You know, that's your punishment. Like anything to like squeeze a buck out of somebody, it's not keeping you down, it's keeping me up. And so I don't trust anything, because in the same vein, what I mentioned earlier, all these companies that are pushing all this stuff, they're not pushing protection. And so is this happening in our near future? It is inevitable that the government will step in some way and mess with our online access.
Well, but you know, but like, historically, it would be better if the government did what they've done historically. I phrased that sentence the wrong way, but where they regulate the companies and not the individuals, right? Like if you started regulating Facebook and Instagram and said like, hey, remove your bots, and like anyone who's like pushing, if you're from Russia and you have something to say about the United States, I don't know if I don't, what would you do in that instance? If it's a real person from Russia.
Yeah. I guess it's more of like, if they're like, it's, yeah, you're right. It's bringing, yeah. There's two things. There's like, it's almost like treating the internet and social media with like the element, like respecting its power in a way, like, you know, like it's actually shouldn't be this freely accessible because of like how much it could influence and change people. I don't even mean the election, just like just the dopamine sapping and stuff like that. There's like an
element for sure.
But also like
all,
yeah,
all of Gen Z is fucked.
Yeah, I mean, and then how do you then police what is considered? Well, I guess if you you can no longer be from Russia going like, yeah, I'm a black guy from Inglewood and here I love Trump.
Right,
you know, you can't be, like, you're like, yeah, I'm a Russian guy and I heard a story about a black, you know, like you have to.
Right.
I love that. I love look checking into the internet one day and then all of a sudden everybody's like Facebook profiles change to who they really are.
Well, it was like, do you remember when Facebook made you have your real name? It didn't used to have to.
I think you had to scan your ID at some point, right? To have access. Like Twitter's doing that for the blue. Like you have to like scan your ID to be.
Are you guys still on Twitter?
No, I quit it.
I did it.
I am. Yeah. I don't look at it. I just post that we have a new episode out. Shit like that.
Is it?
It's.
I don't get any traction.
No, I mean, like, is it different? For obvious reasons, it just became like, obviously it's cesspool is the overused word, but it just felt that way. And that's why I like Reddit, because there's like an earnestness. Reddit reminds me of like what I thought the internet was going to be in the 90s, or at least what it promised to us, where it's like, yeah, communities getting together and building and utopic visions. And like,
oh, you guys all like looking at pictures of elbows. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, very small people, like, idea. Earnestly helping people how to fix their modem. Like, oh, actually, no, you got to do this thing. You know, it's like, that's great.
I know, dude. So I have this computer just really quickly. This is so off topic. I have this computer from a company that's now defunct and I can't get into it. And I'm going on Reddit going like, how do I get into this computer? And every comment is like, well, it's stolen, so fuck you. You're a thief or whatever. And then there's one guy who's like, when did Reddit become 80 years old? Like, just replace the fucking motherboard and like do all this shit. And he was just like so cool about it. He was just like, just do this shit. I don't care if it's stolen or not.
Yeah.
And it really does. Reddit feels like the only place, because you can like, piracy is amazing on Reddit. You can like figure out how to get around like your whole Paramount Plus thing with Europe, you know, like one Reddit search, you could have fucking gotten around.
No, that. I wasn't even that big. I was trying to watch Moneyball or whatever. I was bored. I have a VPN that works, or it did work. Yeah. So yeah, that's why I had to turn on my VPN. Or maybe it didn't. I don't remember why it did. Anyway, yeah.
We should wrap it up though, because I know that you're tired from Europe. Yeah, Willie, if you want to give us like a real quick kind of like summation.
Can I ask one thing? How is the CIA involved in this? And I don't want to extend this, but I was like,
originally there was a post where the CIA was going to push for an ID to happen by 2027. And so that was the whole thing. It's like, oh shit. Like there's some connection here that this needs to happen soon. And in all of my shit, I lost the article. So I couldn't find it again. Searching.
I was confused because the CIA is not a domestic, you know, office or whatever, but
sure. Between the NSA and Homeland Security and CIA, everything being pushed, it was just one specific, video that I watched was like, oh shit, this is cool. That it was a CIA insider saying
it wasn't the CIC,
that the government was going to make this happen by 2027, whether we liked it or not. And then, and so the way that they would make it happen is to sway public opinion in ways like, you know, you picture this
in Latin America in the 60s. They're basically they're turning inward now.
Yeah.
I mean, probably.
And so I lost that article, but do I think that there's like CIA whistleblowers going like, shit's, you know, yeah.
Wait, real quick, credit reports earlier. Do you guys know when credit scores were introduced? Like when the concept of credit scores first became something in America?
I never thought about it. I'm gonna guess just based on that question that it was within my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say 85.
Yeah, I was gonna say 82.
89. What did people do before that? Like, to me, I was like, oh, yeah, credit score.
They got loans, man.
You know what they did?
They built businesses.
You know what they did? They called someone and someone vouched for them.
Yeah, the vouch system. Like, yeah, that guy's great. Yeah.
John at the, John was a doctor and he trusts you.
Or they had like $100 from me.
You see old movies where they have like a notebook where they like write down what you did. You're like, oh, yeah, you bought the can today. All right, I'll settle
1989. Credit scores happened the same year that the wall went down. Was that 89?
Yeah, exactly.
Was that 80? Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Now, like, yeah. As soon as the wall goes down, it's like, all right, capitalism. I'm gonna let you loose now.
Yeah.
ultimately, the crazy thing is because I've always loved. I'm 48. I've watched the internet grow. I've watched people hold on to old technology. I love seeing the old timer. It's like being like, I don't have a cell phone. I don't need one. And just going like, oh, okay. That's cool. It works for you, but that's not how the world works.
Yeah.
And the way the world works now, it is essential for you to have internet. Even homeless people have the internet. It's 2025. Like job applications, most of them are just like, hey, we don't do paper. You don't come in. You just do it online. It has nothing to do with us. Our company paid someone to take care of this. And so everything, you look at these government things where like they have money being pushed. I'm not trying to go off on a tangent right now. I'm just trying to say that like it is essential for us going forward to be a part of our society, to be on the internet.
You could make the argument that like this is stopping poor people from having the internet. If you have to like jump through these steps to like get validated online or whatever.
Yeah, because one thing we didn't really get into is like as soon as you introduce an ID and like a very like you are the person using this, then they're like, okay, now you have to pay for it. Like there's going to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden like, oh, this is why it's always a slippery slope. When I look at the stories we hear of China, the social credit score, where it's like, you're not being a good citizen. Like you shouldn't be allowed on the bus. And it's just like, there's going to be more disparity and bigger separations between the classes. Like we don't even,
At least they have a middle class. Yeah, so maybe doing some right.
Exactly. And so like going forward, like
what's crazy about this, and this is very anecdotal, but my friend just went to China and he spent some time in a woman's apartment who was running a bar. She just like was running a bar in her apartment. That couldn't happen here.
Underground or is it like just you can?
No, it was she had whatever. I don't know what regulations they have there.
But oh, that's interesting. Like,
yeah. Couldn't happen here because of zoning. Couldn't happen here because kids can't have lemonade stands without business licenses. You know what I mean? It's like whatever reason.
And
you
most of those weird like zoning laws and regulations are just for the giant cupcake factories to keep down the tiny cupcake.
Yeah,
factories,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And so, gosh, I the only reason why I love this idea is because I don't know where I lie because I don't actually know what our options are. We've been overtaken by companies and the last thing I want is for companies to win. And, you know, there's like three companies that own 88% of America. And
well, I think we lost. If I think the game's over, man. I think the companies won. I don't think we're scratching back any of that shit. Citizens United, right?
To me, I'm like, dude, I don't want to. I think the last thing we should do is attach ourselves to our online identity. I don't know. Maybe because I've always been on the bottom side of.
Think about it like this, like, well, this is a bad, and listen, let's just end the episode. I would be for it only because my previous thing where I'm not doing shit online.
Yeah.
I know I said I did like some scandalous things or whatever, but that's just porn. And like, they're going to get over that. And I don't think you can blackmail me for that anyway, because everyone's got their weird shit. Right.
I know,
yeah,
dude. I always
not illegal. Assuming the porn you're talking about.
No, it's not illegal.
and if some government entity was trying to blackmail you for some of that shit, like there would be record of it because they'd have to communicate with you.
Yeah. Also,
who knows? Maybe
Yeah, I think your point is right. Like, they don't care about me. Like, I'm not a senator.
But let's say you did something important, like create a free energy machine.
Yeah. Well, then that will exist in the universe, you know? And then I'll be a tragic figure that will, you know.
You'll live. You'll be Tesla.
Yeah. I'll be.
You'll live forever.
I know the ACLU is totally against the online identity connection, whatever.
Okay.
It's really fascinating. I see arguments from both sides because, like, if it also, I think the companies will be for it because it gives us just that extra layer of, like, bullshit you have to do to use their services, and no one cares about it that much to do that. Like, they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, it just would.
Here's my last thought. If we are going to have an online identity, then I need to own that shit. And you can't sell my information, you companies, to everyone else. That's the beauty of it. I'm all for it if I get me.
Well, that's the hope, because it seems like this is a very progressive or even, like, liberal kind of cause. Like, hey, corporations, you know, that kind of thing. Like, very big government in the good way, I guess. So maybe there would be advocacy for that, you know, because if it's against the corporate interest, that means it may be before the consumer interest. So
I know, that's why I'm wondering why the ACLU is against it. Like, what is their point?
They're mostly against it for the protection. They like the idea of it happening, but no company is offering any sort of protection to them losing your data, which then all of a sudden becomes crucial for your.
We don't have that now. We don't have that now. We get a class action every 10 years and get 50 bucks.
But if you had an online ID, and your identity could be stolen, you could never get it back.
Good. Then I'll go off the grid, baby.
Yeah.
Wade Randolph, that guy who owes a bunch of money, not me. Listen, Adam, thank you so much for being here and devoting your time to this. Do you want to shout out any upcoming projects? I know the thing in Europe you can't talk about, but
no, I have something come out in Amazon. It won't be till the fall though. Nothing out soon, unfortunately.
What's in the fall then? Just do the
fall
one.
It's a documentary about a USC football player turned drug kingpin.
Wow.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Cool.
Yeah, you'll have to have me back on so we can
anytime, man. Come back on when it comes out. Like, remind us and we'll have you back on.
Well, that'd be great.
Do you want to throw out your Instagram or anything?
Yeah, it's not my real name. It's Bumbleton. Yeah, go to bumbleton.com. It'll have my projects on there. BLETON.com.
All right, dude. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Everyone stick around for the bonus. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue this conversation. Really, what do you think? You want to stick around for 10 minutes? And
I got... I can be for 10 minutes. Yeah.
All right. So we'll have really for 10 minutes, and then it's got to go. But patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Willie, any plugs or anything?
Nah.
All right, me neither. Remember, everything that was taught to you was taught to. Nope, that's the bonus. You don't get to hear the end of that.
Should more people play basketball on Saturday? We need to get full court games every
day. I mean, we got 30 people on that fucking text, and only six people show up.
I'll be.
Listen, if you're in LA,
you
want to
play old man basketball. Yeah. Hit me up. Text me 818-681-0713.
No, just come to, dude. We'll just throw it out there. If you're in LA, come every Saturday at 10 in the morning. We are at, what's the park called?
Montecito Heights Rec Center.
Montecito Heights Community Center. We play basketball on the just come up and be like, hey, I'm a real life sci-fi listener. I want to play with you, and then we'll fucking school your ass, dude. All right, thanks for listening. Just because you're paranoid, don't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Real life sci-fi.